The Joint Finance Committee begins voting on state budget items today. We will update you and welcome your questions during our state capital report. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We'll also discuss other issues that are being debated under the state capitol dome, and we'll welcome your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. In the first half of our state capitol report, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson will bring us up to date on all the happenings at the state capitol. After 7:30, we will be joined by Republican State Representative Jesse Kramer, who is one of the authors of a bill that would create new free speech rules for the UW system schools. It would discipline, possibly even expel students who cause a commotion at campus speaking events. And again, we'll welcome your questions for him after 7:30. Sean Johnson joins us first. He is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, why don't we just quickly preview this campus speech bill. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think the provision that caught a lot of attention with this bill is that it says you could be potentially expelled for engaging in, quote, violent, abusive, indecent, profane, boisterous, obscene, unreasonably loud, or other disorderly conduct that interferes with the free expression of others. So it's basically aimed at protesters who disrupt an event. But as you can see from that description there, that's pretty broad in terms of the types of behavior that it would cover. And so, you know, we talked to a First Amendment expert who happened to be a former president of the University of Wisconsin system in the 80s. He said that because it's so broad, it without a doubt would raise, you know, issues of constitutionality.
So what's prompting this, Sean, as far as you know? There have been some pretty high profile events around the country where, for example, Ann Coulter was not invited to Berkeley, for example.
Yeah, and there was an event here on the University of Wisconsin Madison campus where there was a conservative speaker, Ben Shapiro, who, you know, basically confronted by protesters at that event. I mean, he's a provocative speaker too. He's, you know, basically poking him right back. But you know, I think that's the genesis of this plan.
Yeah, and again, we will go into more details with the author of the bill. But aren't there already rules along these lines?
There are rules, yeah. But this would be a law, and it would kind of tie the university's hands. Another provision in there that kind of leads people to wonder what exactly the bill means is it requires the university to stay neutral on public policy positions. And so that's a little unclear as to exactly who the university is when you're talking about that or what the bill is calling for.
All right. More on that later. Well, today is the day that the Joint Finance Committee starts voting on state budget items today?
They do. This is the day. Yeah. Not too dramatic, though, in terms of their first votes.
They boring usually, stuff at first.
Well, they save stuff for the beginning that they kind of the easier stuff for them. The stuff that's typically it's issues that haven't been getting a lot of attention, in the past few months since the governor introduced his budget in February. So you're not going to see transportation up for a vote by today in the Joint Finance Committee. You're going to see smaller stuff, simpler stuff.
What?
So, for example, the governor's budget would eliminate the Judicial Council and the Judicial Commission. These are two bodies that do different things. So the Judicial Commission is basically an independent agency with the power to investigate and prosecute misconduct by judges or Supreme Court justices. The governor's budget would put the Judicial Commission, this watchdog, into the budget of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So it would be basically controlled by, you know, their budget, the same people that the Judicial Commission could potentially be asked to investigate.
Yeah.
So a lot of former commission members have said that's a big conflict of interest. And even the Chief Justice of the State Supreme Court, Patience Rogensack, has said, please don't do this. It creates an appearance of, you know, potential conflict. this is something that the governor's done before and the legislature took it out of the budget.
Do we know anything else that the joint finance will be taking up this week?
As far as this week, I mean, they've got some smaller stuff on their agenda today, but they haven't set a schedule on out past Monday. Yeah. So, you know, maybe they'll drop that later today and you'll start to see a bunch of stuff get stacked up here because it's May. They usually, you know, they want to get this passed out of the legislature in theory by the end of June. So, you know, they know that the clock's ticking, basically.
So, as you mentioned, transportation will not necessarily come up today. That's one of the most contentious issues in the state budget. And now the governor is giving some hints on what he might accept and what he might not.
I don't know if it's a hint or not. It definitely caught my attention. Transportation is definitely the most contentious. It's going to be difficult for them to build a budget because typically the way the budget works is the governor presents his plan and that's basically the blueprint for what eventually becomes law. I mean, the skeleton, whatever you want to call it, that is what they build everything else from. What they said with transportation is that they're going to set the governor's transportation budget aside and they're going to build their own plan. So that kind of puts them at more of an equal footing, them being the legislature, more of an equal footing with the governor. And, you know, that could get tricky. So one of the things that we know is that there are some Republican lawmakers who want to increase revenue, you know, taxes or fees for roads. We know that the governor has been very adamant about not supporting a gas tax for roads. He's promised he would veto a gas tax for roads, but he seemed to have left the possibility of a vehicle registration fee increase open. And that's the other big way that Wisconsin state government pays for roads. So he was asked about that last week. You know, Governor, is that something that you would support? And here's what he had to say.
I don't have any interest in raising vehicle registration fees either. I just explicitly talked about the gas tax, but I don't know of anyone in the legislature who's talking about vehicle registration fees. For us, I think there's more than enough revenue out there. I'm willing to work with them.
So a couple things there. I don't know anybody else who's talking about raising vehicle registration fees.
Well, a lot of Republicans in the state legislature are, aren't they?
They are, and they came out later that day and said, in fact, we are talking about that. Yeah. We want to keep everything on the table is kind of this refrain you hear from some Republican lawmakers. The other thing is, you know, pick apart what he said there with the vehicle registration fee. He didn't have any interest in it, doesn't think we're going to have it. So he was asked then, Governor, would you veto a vehicle registration fee? Here's what the governor had to say.
Well, again, I've said that I'm not proposing, nor do I think we're going to have a gas tax or a vehicle registration fee as a part of this budget.
So he didn't say, I will veto it.
He didn't say no, right? Yeah. You know, you could read too much into that in a hurry, but I think it's significant because he's very adamantly opposed to the gas tax increase. And if he said something similar with a vehicle registration fee increase, that those are basically the two big ways that the state gets revenue. The fact that he won't go that far with vehicle registration fee could be significant. You know, hopefully we'll know in a couple months.
Yeah. So after the hearings, public hearings on the state budget that Joint Finance held around the state last month, are there any other areas of the state budget that you see, major tweaking happening?
I guess there are some big questions with the governor's proposal to switch public employees, 250,000 public employees, to a self-insurance plan. That seemed to draw a lot of attention during the agency briefings on the budget, where members of the legislature really grilling members of the governor's administration on why you did that. What assumptions did you make that led you to believe that we would be gaining $40 million a year, $60 million over this next two-year budget by switching to the self-insurance plan? So that's something they seem to have some heartburn over. Yeah. And if they get rid of that, which they may not, what's going to happen when you take away that savings that the governor built into the budget?
Another vote that's set for the assembly tomorrow is not a budget issue. It's the high-capacity wells bill. We just have a couple of minutes before a newscast. Sean, what exactly is this high-capacity wells bill?
This bill, it deals with existing high-capacity wells, and so it says that if you already own a well, you can repair it, you can replace it, or you can sell it without getting a new environmental permit from the Department of Natural Resources.
And why do some people object to that?
A number of landowners and environmental groups, especially and landowners in the Central Sands area of Wisconsin, object pretty strongly to it because they're saying you're granting these well permits in perpetuity, basically, that we already know that these well permits are stressing lakes and streams in the Central Sands, and that by granting this, you're essentially saying that problem is going to be there from here on out.
And we have just 30 seconds. Why do supporters want to have this happen?
It's predominantly vegetable growers and, big dairy operations put a lot of money into these wells. And the refrain you hear from them over and over again is that it creates certainty for them, that if they're going to make this big investment in their property, they want to know that they can keep it.
We are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief. We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Sean Johnson, who is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean is bringing us up to date on what's happening at the State Capitol, talking about some of the hearings from last week and votes that are scheduled today in the Joint Finance Committee on the state budget. There's also an assembly vote on high-capacity wells tomorrow. Coming up, we will be talking with State Representative Jesse Kramer about his campus speech bill. We'll talk about that after 7:35 or so. And we are welcoming your questions for Sean at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. So, Sean, the prevailing wage bill got a hearing last week. This is an extension of a previous bill that eliminated part of the prevailing wage?
It's sort of the next step. So the prevailing wage is a base wage that's set by the government for public works projects. And last session, the Wisconsin State Legislature and Governor Walker eliminated the prevailing wage for local construction projects. This bill would eliminate it for state public works projects. And so we're talking about state highways in this bill, for example. People who are working on that are paid the prevailing wage right now. Under this bill, they would no longer have to be.
And the point of repealing this is that the prevailing wage makes a project cost more? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, this is something that supporters have pointed to as the state is dealing with transportation budget issues. They've said if we get rid of this prevailing wage, we'll get more bang for our buck on these projects. Unions, as you can imagine, vigorously oppose this. And on this issue, there's kind of a coalition between some road builders and those unions who oppose it. So, I mean, last session there was talk of getting rid of the prevailing wage for all kind of government projects, and they didn't take this step to get rid of it for state projects. So, yeah. That just tells you that there's some pushback from it that it's not strictly a union issue, or else unions, given their track record on other issues in Wisconsin recently, they might have lost.
Yeah. So why, obviously it might seem obvious that unions oppose it because it lowers wages, but there are also some safety concerns. They think that if the prevailing wage is eliminated, the road work will be shoddier.
I think their argument is that you're not going to get the same people attracted into road building. That if you don't make it as favorable of a job for unions, for example, that you're going to get a different group of people in there, and the product won't be as good.
So, is the prevailing wage for state projects on its way out then?
We know that it's got plenty of co-sponsors this session. We know that the governor proposed it in his budget too, but the legislature's Joint Finance Committee took it out of the budget. That could be just in the name of getting all sorts of policy out of there. But I think the fact that it didn't pass last session and it was taken out of the budget this session, maybe the votes are there, but that just, I think that says that it's maybe not a given.
Okay. I saw a headline in, I think it was the New York Times last week, was talking about the U.S. Supreme Court and Wisconsin's redistricting case. Is there an update here?
It's attracting a lot of attention nationally, and he had a lot of briefs filed last week from a variety of Republican groups. You had 12 Republican state attorneys general file a brief in this case urging the U.S. Supreme Court to take up Wisconsin's redistricting case. You had the Republican National Committee. You had lawyers for the Republican legislative leaders in the Wisconsin Senate, some other Republican groups like the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, all piling on in this case last week, saying to the U.S. Supreme Court, please take up this case, which, just to refresh your memory, struck down Wisconsin's Republican-drawn legislative maps on the grounds that they were a partisan gerrymander. It was a first-of-its-kind decision in the country, and these Republican groups are saying that this sets a dangerous precedent, that if you let this go forward, that you're going to have lawsuits all over the country challenging maps.
Yeah. So the Republican attorneys general and others want the U.S. Supreme Court to take this up, in part because they must think that the U.S. Supreme Court will side with the Wisconsin legislature on this.
Well, I mean, if the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't take this up, then the opinion stands in Wisconsin, for one. And so Wisconsin's legislature, Republican legislators, would have to redraw those maps by November of this year. So that's sort of the smaller effect of what would happen if the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't take it up.
I get it.
If the Wisconsin opinion stands, then you're going to see other states probably start to replicate it in other circuits throughout the country. And, you know, it may end up getting before the U.S. Supreme Court one way or another.
Yeah.
I think there's a pretty good chance the U.S. Supreme Court's going to weigh in on this, just given the potential precedent it could set and the fact that it's new.
Yeah, so if they take it up, then it usually that takes a while for them to make a decision. It would mean that the decision to redraw the maps would be on hold if they say they'll take it up.
I think that'd be up to the court. I think that's what the Republican Attorney General of Wisconsin wants them to do, is put that decision on hold that says you have to redraw the maps by this November, and then ultimately Republicans want to strike it down. For Democrats, I mean, and Democratic plaintiffs are the ones challenging this map. This is a pretty big case for them because it would change the standards. It would create a new standard that you have to consider when you're drawing these maps. And, I mean, in the case of Wisconsin, it would make it much harder to draw a gerrymandered map that strongly favors Republicans. I mean, you would have to adjust the way that you draw these districts to make them more competitive.
1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org if you'd like to ask a question of Sean Johnson of any of the issues that we are talking about in this first half of our state capitol report. Michael in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Michael.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Listen, on the subject of the prevailing wages, I've worked and managed concrete and asphalt construction my entire life involving road construction. And there's what's considered a non-union equivalent, which is generally about $3 under. If the prevailing wage goes down, or if they don't enforce that, private or smaller companies should still have to pay at least a non-union equivalent. To be fair, in my experience, I've seen quality of road construction quality go down. Union workers traditionally, you know, are trained in their field. They go through training to become part of unions. Over the last 2 or 3 decades, I've seen quality of work drastically drop. And I would say that some of the private smaller companies coming in are actually doing a better quality of work. So there's a couple issues that I'm raising here, and I'll take my call off the air and listen to the comment.
All right. Thanks very much, Michael. We just have a short time for a react to that. Sean, do you have anything to say about that?
You know, I'm not going to. Yeah. I'm afraid it's out of my depth when you're talking about, you know, quality of work and
yeah, I'm not sure about this non-union wage $3 less either, but so all right. Let's quickly talk about Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark and Governor Walker being asked if he would remove Clark from office. What's going on there?
Yeah, just some background here. I mean, we had more details come out last week about the death of an inmate in the Milwaukee County Jail, which Sheriff David Clark runs. as prosecutors were holding a week-long inquest to decide whether to press criminal charges in the case of a man who died in April of last year after guards shut off his water for 7 days. He died of dehydration. Voces de la Frontera, a very outspoken critic of Sheriff David Clark, an immigrants' rights group, petitioned Walker last week to use a state law that gives him the authority to remove negligent county officials from office. And so that put it in the governor's lap, essentially. The governor said, you know, while he in theory has that power, that that is the job of the voters to decide whether or not somebody should be a county sheriff or district attorney or constitutional position. And in the case of Sheriff Clark, he's been elected 4 times in Milwaukee.
Yeah. And very quickly, apparently there's some rumors that David Clark is being considered for a position in the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah. And we did hear this when the transition was happening before President Trump was sworn in, that David Clark might be considered for Homeland Security. But Politico reported again last week that David Clark was being looked at for a Homeland Security position. So that would be a very different turn to his story.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief.